Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with...
Sadesh Ram, who doesn't have a snarky comment because Raw was meh.
You know, it's weird. It started off not meh, but it kind of evolved into this meh. It kind of perished.
It kind of perished,
I would say.
It devolved into...
Did not adapt.
And it's weird because... I mean, I don't know how to describe it, but it's like, I think it just, I guess maybe the first hour, maybe hour and a half, was like ahead of steam for me. It appealed to me more, and I was entertained.
Yes, I agree.
And then the rest of it was kind of just there.
It's weird because it just felt generic, and it's kind of funny because we have a new listener today. He's not able to call for reasons, sadly, but we have a new listener. You know him. Most of our listeners know him. Anthony St. Andres, who's actually been on our How I Met Your Mother podcast. He was on, you know, he's always on our weekly This Week in Comics episodes, and, you know, also he has his own, you know, little, not little, but his own blog called the Geek for Life blog, Geek and then the number 4 Life blog, and he actually posts his custom figures there. You know, you definitely, it's an Instagram, and definitely, you know, friend him there, follow him. I don't know how Instagram works. Message him, and he will be able to make you a custom figure for a price. But the point being is that I wish I knew how he felt, because there were certain things in the night where he texted me, and I felt confused. But it's very interesting, because he hasn't watched wrestling for a while, you know, for years, right? He's just heard me rambling. So the Shield turn made him jump back in. You know, the Seth Rollins turn. I told him about this. He said, "Oh, I'll start watching again." Right? So sadly, we can't know what he thinks. But the point is that, you know, we usually complain on a weekly basis. So I really want to know what the random person jumping back in thinks. You know?
Yeah, I mean, because there were it felt like what was the average Raw for this era, where there was some good and there was some bad, and.
Exactly.
You know, there are a lot of things we could look at as good in the bad, even, because depending on the mood we're in, you know, we can grab positives out of a bad situation, or we can nitpick, which is something, you know, we do a little bit of both.
Yes, yes, no, and we were very pumped coming into tonight, I would say. You know, especially because of last week and, you know, I mean, Raw and SmackDown both delivered, I would say. Even SmackDown, which was a bit strange, it also had the sense of continuity. I mean, you had, you know, people like Dolph Ziggler and Big Show really kind of getting invested in what's going on in the universe, you know, the WWE universe, and I feel as if that's, you know, that's needed. Where, I mean, the fact that certain things feel disjointed sometimes is really upsetting, but I think tonight we had a bit of that also, that unity, that continuity. It's just something that we didn't really want for some people. You know, I'm John too.
Yeah, it's weird, right? You know, we want continuity and we want organic storylines with everybody except John. But though,
right.
I mean, when we're getting it, there's somewhat of a positive to take from it, and that's maybe he'll be a little bit away from the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, you know, Money in the Bank ladder match, which would be cool.
Right.
But, I mean, we'll get to that when we...
Of course.
When we get there, I mean, we can start off with the big news, which was the...
Even before the big news, I'd like to say one little thing. But actually, two things. First off, you know, at 12 o'clock, we will be accepting callers, so definitely call in. The number is 718-664-9468. The number, again, being 718-664-9468. Now, I also like to mention, get the WWE app. Because, and I only mention this because I actually had the app running on my Kindle during commercials. And honestly, these guys just give it their all. I mean, I will admit it's a bit upsetting that it's harder to connect to the internet sometimes, so some of the videos I did miss, which was, you know, disheartening, but the ones that I were, you know, that I was able to catch, I mean, these promos are great. In a way, it's like, I mean, they promote the next match, so for us watching at home, we feel as if it's maybe a cold open when you'll have someone like, you know, 3MB come out, right? But 3MB was actually on the app. So it's very interesting where, and they're cutting some amazing promos, really being in character. And I mean, it's, and you also, you have, you know, the main event announce team on and off, switching on and off, you know, just interviewing these guys and girls just before they come in.
And but, I think the one thing I'll say that WWF might be necessary for me is the moments in between matches where we have that random shift in control. Because it always irritates me where, you know, we're watching, let's say, like, Cody Rhodes beat up on somebody, and then suddenly Cody Rhodes is getting his ass kicked.
And he's getting pinned. Immediately, that's happened before. The pin hasn't worked, but immediately, you know, back from commercial has been a pin.
Yeah, but, I mean, I know better. But it's just like, guys, you know, I mean, it's such a classic wrestling thing that it is nice to see what happened instead of, during the break, the heels took over.
There wasn't that much of that tonight, though, which is interesting. There's only two.
No, there was not.
There was only two matches that actually went into the commercial break, which is strange. Usually, there's at least three per night.
Right.
Yeah, but anyway. So yes, the big news, the news that we were hoping for, Daniel Bryan, which is a weird sentence, but we'll get into it.
Yeah, that was weird for you to say, but I can't really disagree with you.
No, we wanted, to anyone who doesn't, you know, who's listening at home thinking, what? We wanted Daniel Bryan's title to be taken from him, if only because he has a real-life neck injury. Those things are not to be messed with. We've seen, you know, Edge, I'm sure you can name even a few more that have just had, you know, I mean, look at Kurt Angle, who's still going, but who really shouldn't be. Right? And to have this, you know, to these guys have these, you know, these terrible, terrible neck injuries and to just either keep on wrestling through them or to possibly risk, you know, being paralyzed and having not even career-ending, you know, situations, but life-ending situations. Take a step back, Daniel.
No, I guess for me it's just neck injuries are scary. And unless you are Kurt Angle, you know, and you can do things with a broken freaking neck, you really have to be careful here, because you look at guys like Stone Cold, who after a neck surgery kind of had to refine their style in the ring, and then you look at someone like Edge, who had to retire because of a potential serious neck injury, so much so that, you know, he may not have been able to walk ever again or could have died. And you look at Daniel and you want him to definitely, even if it's coming back with a reduced moveset, to recover at as much time as he really needs to. I mean, it's just not something you can joke around with, even in storyline, oh, let's have a segment where we beat him up. No, because he's recovering. You know, you really can't, you have a very, very little ground to work with here. And WWE is right in doing this because, you know what, if you can't work two pay-per-views in a row, and that's not Daniel's fault, it's the injury's fault, you know, I mean, it's okay to be stripped of your title because you need that title to be a prominent part of why you're getting people to watch pay-per-view. So this, with enough time, they basically looked at the doc and said, say, can Daniel go? No. All right, cool. So we'll just start booking the other match now. And that's good because now there's enough time for them to hype up the upcoming Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yes, yes.
Which, promises to be entertaining, I would say.
Yeah, I still wish there were two matches, though. I know it might seem a bit like overkill.
There could
but
be.
I hope there is, because the fact that, I mean, they already, okay, they kind of already, I feel as if they were, when Del Rio won, you know, Del Rio beat Ziggler to qualify. When he won, I feel as if they were thinking of the, you know, the Money in the Bank match, not the WWE World Heavyweight title match.
Correct. Thank God he was somebody who can be used in both roles. And
yes.
We know he wouldn't win either. But he fits in both of those
as
a high-end competitor
in
the Money in the Bank one and a low-end competitor in the championship one.
Exactly. I do think, yes, like you said, I do think he was a bit higher on the food chain, not the way he's been pushed recently, but in general, he's a bit higher on the food chain for the Money in the Bank, you know, qualifier.
Right.
But now it's kind of funny. Now I feel as if because of this, they couldn't let RVD win. You know, because you have to have one guy who's on the lower end of the totem pole. You can't just have three guys who you're thinking, yeah, they can't win.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
It's something where I do think they should consider having their second ladder match, if only because we know that they can run two ladder matches on this card and it's entertaining, because we've at least done the Raw and SmackDown briefcases. And secondly, it just makes sense because one of your default angles, which we know that they need because it seems like they really do need their crutches, is to work with the Money in the Bank briefcase guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, why not? Why take that away? Because it's such a novel idea. So,
not just that.
Mm.
Not just that, but why take it? It's kind of funny in a weird way where they think, oh, no, we can't have Daniel Russell on the card, right? We can't have Daniel Russell on the card. That's 20 minutes taken away. So we're only going to do one ladder match this year. Right? I don't think your math is adding up. No, Steiner math is perfect. So what we're also going to do is we're going to take away the potential chance of having a, you know, Money in the Bank, you know, winner. And anyway, so that entire all those segments and all those, you know, whatever throughout the entire year aren't going to be there. So for, you know, Daniel Bryan injury, for any possible other injuries that may pop up in the future, don't worry because we won't have any other angles that we could put into there. That we'd have to, you know, that we'd have to make up randomly on the spot.
Hmm.
It's like, but guys, you could have used this. You could use this. So hopefully they understand that, and they make, even if it's a little bit impromptu, they can still, you know, make something, I mean, just anything, where let's say Seth Rollins isn't in this WWE match, he could be a contender. And if he becomes a contender, right, Seth Rollins becomes a contender, Randy Orton wins the WWE World Heavyweight title back. Now, like you mentioned once on the podcast, how great would it be to have, you know, which one is triple, you know, which side is Triple H on?
Yeah,
you know, that would be very interesting.
And referring back to Triple H, he did a lot of subtle things right again tonight in terms of being a mega heel to the point where I want to slap him just for the whole, you know, I can't get over the fact that I hate him for the, well, Dan, we told you we were right, Daniel sucks kind of thing. And then following that up with gifting Orton a title shot.
Yes. Which is funny, I thought he was going to do it to Rollins, and while that sounds silly, if you put the Shield in the ladder match,
too.
Or at the very least, if you have the Shield incapacitate Rollins, you know, in a way to pull him out where Rollins wanted to be in there, but then the Shield is getting involved. So, you know what, hold on a second, ladder match, I'll get back to you another day, you know? Just, for right now, I'm going to beat up these two assholes. I thought that's where they were going, maybe, but sadly he gave it to Orton, which is, I say sadly if only because Orton still has a title shot, so I don't know what's going on with that.
Right, that was kind of scrapped.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I assume it's just scrapped, where it's just, which is funny because I think in hindsight, it's really going to, I mean, I say bite them in the ass if only because one day someone will go, yeah, by WWE rules, the rules that everyone knows about, when did Orton get his championship rematch? Well, Triple H gave it to him at Money in the Bank. No, but when did he get his actual money? Shut up, Money in the Bank.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I just don't know what the, it's like. It's one of those things where it's like when it's convenient for them, they'll bring it up right away. But since they got lazy and it wasn't convenient for them, they're just acting like it doesn't exist, like it's something that they don't naturally do. And
I know,
it's
right?
Really, really irritating.
The
but,
only
I, mean,
I think the thing that I would enjoy actually, and this sounds kind of stupid, but I would really enjoy it if Orton loses the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Mm-hmm.
But he still has a rematch clause. RKO's whoever the fuck it is, wins. But Triple H runs out in a referee shirt. Just, where did you get that from? Just immediately, just 1, 2, 3, and Orton is your new.
He saved it from last year.
No. He got his. No, he already got a rematch last year, didn't he?
No, I'm saying Triple H saved his rough shirt from last year.
Oh, yes, yes, he said, he actually has never taken it off. It's always on under the suit.
That explains a lot.
Yes, no, and it's great, too, because they had another match that night, right? They had another match that night. So immediately, while Randy Orton is holding up the title, Rob Van Dam runs into the ring with his referee and takes down Randy Orton for the win.
We're going to have a referee showdown.
Yeah, Rob Van Dam is now currently our WWE World Heavyweight Champion. But it's okay, though, because at the next pay-per-view, what's the next pay-per-view after Money in the Bank? SummerSlam? No. Is it?
Is it?
July? No.
Is that
SummerSlam
Battleground?
Now? Yes, thank you, Battleground. Now, Battleground, you're right, referee show-off. We have a tag team match as the main event. It's going to be Rob Van Dam and his referee versus Randy Orton and Triple H. So it's basically a handicap match.
For the most part.
For the most
but
part.
I mean, I just, they handled the opening segment of the Daniel Bryan stuff well, and I'm glad.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, you know, we want Daniel to be healthy. So when he comes back, that storyline of him in pursuit of his title, which they are, is going to be pretty hot. In
most
terms of, you know, that'll probably get the heat in the crowd. Everyone, Minneapolis was a surprisingly not bad crowd.
I was extremely – I think they are the ones who kept me pumped up for most of the night because
they
you kind of need
job.
That in your crowd.
They were high energy.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked
most
that
definitely.
About them. So kudos to them in a way that I didn't expect to be giving them kudos.
No, most definitely. So a few things I wanted to mention. We haven't really talked about the segment itself completely. This is a weird thing that I found. I found that it was weird that they didn't open up with the Shield promo, and I understand that they tied it into it later. But what was weird is that it's as if they were, and I know they obviously feed the announce team things. You know, if you don't know this, people listening, they actually have a microphone in the announce team's ear, and they feed them lines every once in a while. Usually it's Vince McMahon or Kevin Dunn or someone is just telling them what to say. Right? It was just very weird because in the opening segment, when we're sitting here, and it's not just us, I think everyone was sitting here thinking, you know, the Shield, like this is the hot thing right now. Immediately it's just, yep, speculation about Daniel Bryan. We weren't even thinking about that. Yep, everyone's talking about Daniel Bryan. Wasn't even on our minds, actually. Let's go to the special update, which may be about Daniel Bryan. Seth Rollins broke our hearts last week. Could we reference that for 5 seconds? You know?
No, I think they handled it fine because, I mean, I would have gone if they did it the other way around,
yeah.
I would have been upset because I would have been like,
no,
dude,
I
that's our WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
No, here's the
that
thing,
man
here's
deserves front billing.
No. You have to understand. I'm not referring to Triple H. Triple H, everything that he and Stephanie did, perfect, right? I'm referring to the announce team specifically. It's just very weird that they're going, what are they announcing? Well, maybe it has something to do with the Shield? Like, it just seemed really weird that out of nowhere, their speculation.
The announce team's always on some kind of stupid shit, so.
But again, whoever fed them the lines, is what I'm saying, they fed them, in my opinion, the wrong way because it felt as if imagine. It's just one of those things.
And water
like,
is wet.
Yeah, fair enough. No, it's one of those things where it's just like, you know, it's just, it's again, speculation. Like, you know, like imagine if the rumors for, you know, on Cage Side Seats were spot on. I mean, completely. Like, here are the rumors. On Friday, this is the match card for SmackDown. Well, those don't seem like rumors. I think that's actual fact. You know, I don't think these are rumors today, guys. I think you're just telling us what's going to happen next. Just say that's going to happen next. Guys, that's my thing because they just had this air of this might be speculation, but let's hear Triple H talk about it specifically.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna, you know, as I do every night, usually when we do these Raw recaps, I'm going to take quotes that people have said because they're just so amazing, and of course share some yourself if you have any. Triple H on Brie Bella, she is a shrewd businesswoman. Regarding her quitting over nothing.
Yeah, I mean,
That made me really happy.
No, it was such a heelish move because now with Daniel without his titles, it really does put that in perspective. Where both Daniel Bryan and Brie are in a terrible, terrible place. So it's all the more entertaining when he comes back to basically just shove it in their face. Because you know, he is not the guy that's supposed to succeed. We know this by now.
Yeah.
And it sucks, but I think I'll explain this before, part of the reason I think I get so into their heel promos is that there is a part of me that's just in fear that that's how they really feel about Daniel. And I just sit there like, please don't hate him, please don't hate him, please don't hate him, please don't give up on him.
Well, here's the thing, here's how I feel. In the beginning I felt that, and I agreed with you. Now though, from what I hear, I know it's all rumors, but still, I hear that not only is Vince very behind him, but of course we can see that they, like if they really didn't care about him, they would have dropped him off the face of the earth. you know? But the fact that they've actually given him this promo time, I mean, we worry in a few months if they've just, you know, discard him, but as of right now, I mean, they really care about him, you know? And I think
as they should.
And I'll say this much. We did it once, you know. We as fans cheered him on to the point where they put him back into the main, you know, they put him into the main event once. If we do it again, you know, if we don't give up on him in a few months and they kind of do, our cheers will get him right back where he was before.
But see, that's what I worry about, where what if Daniel comes back and he's just not Daniel anymore, because we like him, but we won't love him anymore because he'll be like a lesser version of himself. You know,
well,
like,
depends
can
on
he
what they
generate the same? So I'm very worried about the situation. And I'm excited at the same time, but it's just like there's a fear there.
It depends on what they don't give him. Because if they don't give him the flying headbutt, I don't think anyone's going to sit there and go, darn, you know. So I think there's certain moves that if they still give him, like, I mean, there's certain crowd, you know, the way he pumps himself up and everything, and the way he just runs from corner to corner, I think they can still give him that. You know, there's certain things that they can still give him. And there's certain things that they won't that I assume that, you know, that no one will cry over. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of things that he hasn't brought over from his Ring of Honor days because they've told him, hey, not safe. And no one has really cried these tears that, you know, drowned him, you know? If anything, the tears that people cried, he was able to swim in them. Why am I referencing
that's
an tears?
Odd.
It really is. It really is. The point is that people loved him, even though I'm sure his moveset has been watered down a lot because WWE.
Right.
You know? So even though he's going to be watered down a bit more, so long as it isn't, and Daniel Bryan's in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
What's he doing now? Well, he's there. We'll get more on that when we come back from the commercial break. In the app, he's just standing there. The opponent is just scared. You know, like, as long as it doesn't get to that point, I think people will still be behind him.
Yeah, I'll wait, because I think people are fickle.
They are, but I feel as if anyone who won't be behind him, and when I say won't be behind him, I mean in a boo territory, will be people that were already on Triple H's side anyway, I feel, which they do exist, strangely. There's people that believe in what Triple H says. It's true. I know it sounds weird, but it's
true. But that gives them some ammo, so I feel like more people will be coming out of the woodworks.
Yes, but I don't think they'll be the ones at the... Because the thing is even if... Let's just say we have a shitty crowd, right? And by shitty, I mean maybe one that would cheer on John Cena forever. They would still cheer for Daniel Bryan, I feel. You know? So I feel as if... Like, I feel as if with the general public, they won't turn on Bryan that quickly. At the very least... Remember something, by the way. They won't turn on Bryan if the alternative is Triple H. You know, that's what I'm saying. Where... If, especially Triple H now, and I think they're doing this on purpose, making him be the guy that helps Seth Rollins turn, you know, where it's just, I think for a while, even, you know, Marks and Smarks alike won't be sitting here like, I like that Triple H guy, you know, unless they were fans of him beforehand. And even then, I'm sure there's some people who were fans of him beforehand, and now after seeing this turn, are thinking, screw that guy.
I hope so.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Moving on to the first match of the card, Sheamus versus Barrett. This card was really weird like that.
Conceptually, it was cool.
No, it's just because the thing is like if people have been seeing, Raw and, you know, wrestling recently, this card had a lot of rehashes, and the problem with the rehashes were they didn't really tweak anything. You know, where you look at Sheamus versus Barrett, and I'll say this later on for other matches, and they didn't say, it's Sheamus versus Wade Barrett, but it's a hardcore match. You know, they didn't do something that made you go, here is why it's different. They just said, oh, it's qualifying. And that was supposed to make you think, so that's why this is different. Of course it is. Nothing changed, you know?
I mean, it wasn't a bad match, though, so I wasn't really upset because in storyline it made sense. It wasn't a bad match. Granted, I still find Sheamus to be pretty boring. I'm sorry.
Yes.
At least in favor of Barrett, too, you know? But it is what it is because, realistically, neither Sheamus or Barrett was going to be one of the winners of the title at Money in the Bank, I think.
Yes.
So I figured, I was like, oh, okay.
Which is why I'm wondering if this match was made before they thought that it was going to be the world heavyweight, because a few of the matches on this card, other than putting Randy Orton in there, felt as if they were thinking, well, I mean, you know, let's make it for the Money in the Bank. And then all of a sudden, when Daniel's news became finalized, it just didn't get switched up, because when you think about it, in my opinion, who else could they have put in there to make it seem as if this guy is a world heavyweight, you know, WWE champion?
Arguably, right? Who else are you going to throw into this top title match but the person already holding the mid-card title? Because in terms of, like, technically, you know, Barrett and Sheamus are holding the top titles in the company right now.
That is true. It's just interesting because it just, like you said,
it's weird because of the way they were booked, though. Because the thing is, and this is WWE's fault completely, they are not booked like guys who are holding the top titles in the company right now. And secondly, as you mentioned, this is not a fresh match. This isn't one of those, oh, we're going to have a champion versus champion match, and it's cool. This is something we've been seeing a lot of recently, and no, not like last week, but it's not new. So,
are you sure it wasn't last week? I'm pretty sure it was actually last week.
It may have been last week, honestly. You know how bad my memory gets.
Yes, no, I'm pretty sure it was last week, but again, built up very well. But it's one of those things where it's just a rehash. And also I would like to mention that, it was a good match, and it's one of those things where it's just, it would be nice if someone, you know, won both, technically all three, but both titles, and then dropped the second one. Because as long as the person doesn't hold it for a while, that's a really cool accomplishment in 2014, isn't it? Like, to say, I've won the WWE and the United States Championship. And then, you know, if you're a face, the Authority or someone books you to, you know, put both on the line in one night, and then you lose the lesser one. Or, hell, you may even lose the top one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really cool accomplishment to say, I have these things, you know, in an era where you know that someone won't. But then the problem becomes, for me anyway, that Sheamus is the guy who got in. And I know we have a bias against Sheamus here. It's just that it's one of those things where, you know, Barrett got this huge push. And I personally feel as if, I know the storyline kind of dictates that it's going to be, you know, Barrett probably versus Cesaro in some way or another. But it was just, again, the push that Barrett has been getting.
Didn't Cesaro get into the match?
Yes.
So no,
which is funny.
Cesaro.
So now all of a sudden you're just like, wait,
yeah,
we're going to get to that later.
Here's what I was thinking, though. I sat there and I was like, okay, this is dumb because, A, I like Barrett, and I was like, you know, Barrett should be the guy in the match. But when I came to the conclusion that neither of those guys would be winning the match, I felt okay because I figured what you can do here is give Barrett another generic title defense. And let him win.
But,
because why not? That helps him, you know? And that may actually leave him looking stronger than he would have if he was in Sheamus' position.
That is true, but I mean, I would like to say that there's rumors. I remember there was an article on CageSide that showed that, Dolph wants the challenge for the title. If it is going to be Dolph versus Barrett, awesome. Because in my eyes, there aren't
that many people.
Because
Dolph
can
have a great match with him and lose.
Yes. Of course, because, you know, he has to, which is upsetting. But, hey, the thing is, though, is I was hopefully that is what happens, because I don't think there's anyone on the card right now, you know, who isn't going to be in this ladder match who is not good enough. Because, again, everyone, if they got into WWE, they're good enough for the most part. I just mean that the way WWE has booked them, if they say, like, Wade Barrett versus Sin Cara, you know, no. Xavier Woods?
Like that has to take time. Like, we have to build mid-card competitors again.
Exactly.
Which is a fault, again, of WWE's.
Yes.
But I think this is actually okay, because I think Wade will come out looking stronger than Sheamus would when come Money in the Bank.
Right.
And that is the only reason I'll accept this, because it irritated me to see Sheamus win.
Exactly. Also, the match really made me mark out for Barrett, I would say, because I was screaming at my TV screen a lot.
Yeah, the thing is, and kudos to them for not making it. I don't know about some other people, but the match itself was not boring. So,
not at all.
I mean, I thought it was well done, and I felt good about that, because feeling like I've seen this before and the match not being boring, that was good.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Also, that Wyatt promo. moving forward, that Wyatt promo was, I mean, here's the thing. I'll admit that Harper and Rowan felt a bit off to me, I have to say. But Wyatt is just, again, Bray is just on his game. I mean, at most, you know, 9 out of 10 times, you know, all the time, that guy knows what he's doing. And it happened on Friday. I don't know if you got to see the clip from Friday when he talked about being reborn. But on Friday, he was, you know, at the top of his game.
I did, and Cole referenced it, you know.
Yes, and then he comes back tonight, you know, on Raw, and he was just great. I mean, the little things here and there, I mean, just, you know, looking at this, you know, talking about the Shield, something that obviously he wasn't a match with them tonight, but still, he could have just, you know, said nothing. You know, I mean, the fact that they're really trying to make continuity, it feels great. It really does. And just having just thinking of all things, there's little, you know, the wink, you know, and just the little things here and there that he just does that really make you just, I mean, feel for this character and want to see where he's going to go next. Sadly, it looks like...
It's one of those car crash things for me, where it's like every time he's losing, he's still finding a way to make himself seem interesting.
Exactly.
And so now
it works,
it's a matter of what happens here. Yeah, it has worked to this point. So
yeah.
What happens now? You know, I mean...
Yeah. You know, I actually, if he is going to fight Cena again, which sounds really stupid because that's just really stupid. I mean, there's no other way of saying it. It'd be stupid. But
yeah,
if he fights
what happens
Cena again,
here?
If he fights him again, honestly, I if he wins, that would be the best thing in the world, I feel. Because if he wins and they ended on that, John Cena defended his legacy. You know, he defended everything he needed to defend, quote unquote. But at the end of the day, Bray Wyatt was reborn. That happens
sometimes. Yeah, of course, you know. Reborn means you come back stronger, as Bray was arguing, and Michael,
yeah.
You know, mentioned. It just, I would accept it if only because it keeps Cena away from the Money in the Bank match.
Yes.
We still have, what, 3 open spots?
Yes,
because,
and there's rumors that he's going to win.
Yeah. First off, I don't think I want to see Cena in that match anyway, because
yeah.
It doesn't fit his style of work.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't want him in that match. I want an entertaining match, and I don't think he's going to be able to provide that. That being said, I am so turned off by the idea of John holding those titles again.
Yes.
And if I remember correctly, John has not held these Unified titles.
No. Which is, for WWE, in their eyes, the perfect spin.
That's what it hurts me, because I'd be like, that's new, right? For all these, you won't be bothered by that. No, we will, because it's still a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem when your top guy is the guy that, even when he's not holding the titles, he's currently your top guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a problem. Also, we have ourselves a caller. I would like to catch him and or her through. It's only one person. Hello, caller.
Hey, guys, it's me, Daniel.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey.
So, how was Raw tonight for you?
I was phasing in and out because some of it was boring to me. And I was phasing in between that and E3, so.
Well, I'll say this much. So, did they announce a WWE game at E3?
No, they did not.
Oh, well then. Oh, well.
Yeah.
But there is actually a WWE game coming out in 2015. Apparently, Sting is going to be on the cover. Or something.
Woo-hoo!
Or something like that. But what matters is tonight. So tonight, we were just talking about Bray Wyatt and John Cena. How do you feel about Bray Wyatt and John Cena, Daniel?
Look, I just, there's no, is there anyone else for Bray Wyatt to feud with? Anyone?
Yeah, just any. Big Show raises his hand. Screw it, we'll actually take you.
Could work as a bounce back, by the way. All jokes aside.
Actually, yeah. Yeah.
Because in terms of Bray topping a literal giant, you know, to basically show that him being reborn makes him a threat.
Right. I know we always make jokes about the fact that, you know, people making African American people job out. I would want Bray Wyatt to fight Mark Henry for one reason. I don't remember them fighting Mark Henry, but I remember them specifically fighting the Big Show.
Yeah.
Possibly because
who's Rusev going to take down? There won't be that many other black guys for him, and he needs to take down Mark Henry to complete the turn.
Oh, actually, he does need to take down Mark Henry to complete the term, but it's okay because he could fight another black guy because there's just not enough, but they'll still keep on throwing
but
the
Mark
same
Henry's
ones at
the
him
only
over
black
and over.
Guy he hasn't absorbed energy from yet.
Which is weird. No, it's weird. Why is he not? Because see, that's true, though.
Why
are
you laughing,
side.
Daniel? Don't you know? You eat them and you absorb their power. That's how it works in WWE.
It's true. The amount of people Christian has eaten are very few. Look at how skinny
the
guy is.
You make him sound like Kirby. You make him sound like Kirby.
Alex, to quote Satish Ram, Alexander Rusev is Kirby. To quote Satish Ram.
Here's the problem. I like Kirby a lot. I don't like Alex Rusev. So I'm in a very tough position here.
But seriously though, it's true though. Just anyone else? Can he feud with anyone else? Just actually he feuds with Big Show at first, but then Big Show grows out his facial hair to become Big Wyatt.
Jeez.
In his 897th heel turn.
And who shows
Big
up
Show.
To save him? But John Cena,
who appears from Big Show's tights because he can be anywhere.
Can I also question something? The match came out tonight, you know, with after Rollins' promo, after the way the match came out, like, sorry WWE, can you do anything more predictable?
Cena
coming in to save him.
I saw this coming. I'm like, okay, John Cena's going to come out right
it was
now.
Actually funny because I didn't see it.
I didn't...
Maybe it's because I was very optimistic tonight, but I did not see John Cena coming out, if only because they actually haven't had John Cena coming out and being a good guy, quote-unquote, for a while.
That's what I was
going to
say. It seemed like two faces of a moment for John. Like, I was thinking, I assumed that because it was the Wyatt family they were going to use John, but I figured it would be some kind of backstage thing, where it was just some corny thing, where John's having another interview with Renee, where he sounds like he's on crack, and he's just like, I will fight the Wyatts with the Shield, because the Shield, and he'll say something nice about the Shield, because, you know, he has to throw it in there, but then he'll talk about why he's facing the Wyatts, and how he's the hero and everything, and the Shield are his, you know, accessories, and...
Yeah.
I figured that's what would happen. And instead, when they have him booked to come out there and actually come out there to save the Shield and help them out, I mean, I was intrigued. And not particularly complaining about the way that happened. I was just complaining about the fact that it was just, ugh, John involved with the Shield, which kind of almost kills their heat for, like, tonight for me.
Yeah, it does. No, and the thing is, to anyone who's listening who hasn't really seen much of wrestling, the reason why we bring this up is because, you know, recently, is we bring this up because, you know, recently there's been moments where, and it's true, the Usos getting their asses handed to them by the Wyatts, right? And even Bray will just say, where is your Cena now? And Cena won't come out. So little things like that, where, I mean, you had Daniel Bryan on this almost this year-long, you know, feud with the Authority, and John Cena does nothing to help Daniel Bryan. Heck, when he comes back from injury, he beelines straight for the World Heavyweight Championship and actually beats Alberto Del Rio for it, and in no way helping out Daniel Bryan with his cause. And you understand that, obviously, he doesn't need to help him. It would kind of take away his momentum. We understand that. But it's just a weird thing where now, you know, where in this case, where it's just, oh, the Shield needs someone to help them, John Cena comes out. Really? I wasn't expecting that. You know, just from the way he's been lately, I wasn't expecting that. And it's weird, because now it feels as if John Cena isn't saying, I need to help my friends, the Shield. John Cena's saying, wow, this is really popular right now. I must come out and be a part of it.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then goes straight to the ring, and then beats up the Wyatts. And then as he's just pointing at the Shield, just going, my buddy's the Shield. My buddy's the Shield. Love me.
Wow.
Well,
why won't
I've
you
heard
love
the Shield
me?
Are looking for another member. I've heard the Shield are looking for a third member. I mean,
yeah. Remember when you asked last week when I who I thought could be a third member of the Shield?
Right. Yeah.
Corey Graves.
No, you meant Johnson. It's okay. I understand.
I'm Corey Graves, goddamn.
Let me tell you who's going to be a part of the Shield, brother. Didn't you notice how Seth Rollins had an emphasis on brothers, brother? So let me tell you something, brother. What you gonna do when the Shield, mostly Hulkamania, and all the Hulkamaniacs are gonna run wild on you, Seth Rollins?
And when you break your hip.
That I'm actually dying. That hurt my throat so much. Let me tell you something. Matt needs a
Look
drink,
at that.
Brother.
Impersonating Hulk Hogan is now painful.
Yeah.
That's how bad
it
is. Imagine if you impersonate Hulk Hogan without feeling his pain.
Imagine if you were him.
That's
okay.
Amazing.
Well, although Maeve is boring for me tonight, I don't have to worry because next week we have Kevin Hart hosting Raw.
Oh, do we? Did I miss that?
Apparently it's on the, it was on the internet.
Oh, well,
we're
doing everything
on the internet.
It was on YouTube. It was on WWE's YouTube channel, so I consider
well,
it
okay.
It's
there,
kind of
that
funny.
That sounds a lot better than it was on the internet.
You know what was recently on the internet? I swear to God. The Rock wants to work a match with his cousin, you know, being Roman Reigns, at WrestleMania. And I sat there thinking, so it must be true. It was just, it was really funny. It was just you know, it was like it's on the internet, so it has to be true.
Yeah,
it
is. Whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, but seriously, though.
Do you remember when Brock Lesnar broke the streak and it was just a week of articles about how Brock went into business for himself?
Oh, those were hilarious. If anyone doesn't know, literally people believed, right, that Brock Lesnar is, like, somehow managed to hold The Undertaker down for a three count because he wanted the pin for himself. As if there's no one who could have actually stopped him. Like,
right.
at that point, if Brock was holding him down and Undertaker couldn't come out, Vince McMahon himself would have appeared from the back and possibly fired Brock on the spot in some storyline kind of fashion, but really saying, Brock Lesnar, you know, and you're never coming back, you know, but no. Brock Lesnar somehow went into business for himself. Oh, my God, the funniest thing in the world. Someone tried to tell me that. Someone was like, you know what my theory is? And I wanted to laugh at him so badly because Raw had already happened. So I said to him, I said, do you watch, like, you know, like Raw? And he goes, no. And I'm like, all right, I'm not going to be a jerk to you, man. You know, but Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman came out. You know, if that's the problem. No one watches wrestling. They just watch WrestleMania. So the entire week there were all these articles that people were like, yeah, this is exactly what's happening. Listen, Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar weren't fired on the spot on Monday. He didn't go into business for himself. Like, oh, my God, people. But anyway, but seriously, though, you know, thank you for calling in, Daniel.
All right.
And, you know, please keep on listening. And if anyone else wants to call in, you know, the number is 718-664-9468. The number, again, being 718-664-9468. Now, moving forward, we go to the Lana promo, which actually, in my opinion, may have been one of her best promos yet on the main roster.
I feel her return to confidence.
Yes, yes.
I don't think it was one of her best, but I liked that it was a return to what her bread and butter was.
Fair enough. I think maybe because we've just gotten some bad ones. I think this is one of them. Also,
yeah,
definitely. It's also I would like to mention, she did, I believe, told them to silence, but she said it in her native tongue, which I think just sounds a bit better.
I believe that. I mean, I believe it based on the promo. And it was just kind of like, it fit in a weird way, what I felt like they would do in terms of her mocking Obama, but, like, you know, with the videos and all that, and then showing Putin pictures and all that, it was amusing.
Yes. No, because that's the thing. I just really enjoy that. With her and with Rusev, I really feel like they're getting into the groove that, for some strange reason, Bo Dallas fit into immediately, right? And it took Adam Rose, sadly, some could not see Adam Rose tonight, but it's okay. But, you know, Rose took a couple weeks to kind of fit into that groove, and I think maybe finally they're getting Rusev into it, where if Rusev, not into a main event push, but if Rusev is an upper mid-carder, you know, if Rusev not this Money in the Bank, because it's for the, you know, for the main title. But if this was a Money in the Bank for the, you know, actual Money in the Bank, briefcase, I would be upset if Rusev was in it. You know, with the way that they're kind of really getting behind this guy, and, you know, and what he's able to do in the ring now, I wouldn't be upset with it. If it was for the briefcase.
For me, what I need to be sold on is either the gimmick or the fact that he can wrestle. And I'm not sold on the fact he can wrestle yet.
That's
I
true.
Am in tune with the gimmick when they turn it up to 11. And I know I use that phrase a lot, but for me, when they did the whole ceremony and you have him with the national anthem and everything going on, today he was announced, his weight was announced in kilos.
Yeah,
and you know, winning the match after the flag drops down. See, that I like.
Oh, completely.
Because when you turn everything up to 11, that's when it becomes entertaining. That's what becomes worthwhile about this gimmick. Because at the end of the day, all he did was have another squash match with Zack Ryder. And for Zack, you know, I know that our fact checker out there, Maddie, is just sitting there like, God damn it. But
actually, I'm very happy. Because think about it. Think about it.
He's on TV?
You guys. Yes. Because the thing is, you see, some people see it negatively. Zach, you know, this happened to Zach again. He's on television. You know, good for you, Zach. Good for you, Ryder. The fact that you've actually been able to appear on television twice in the last year.
Oh, yeah. His role is non-black guy crushed by Rusev. What a
twice
thrilling.
In a row. It's like a sequel. It's like a sequel for a movie. Like, they just decided, you know what, Zach? You deserve it again. You go, Zach. You know, it's actually...
Are they low on white guys, too?
They're low on everyone for jobbers. Actually, since we're here, because this is actually a really... I want to make a good point. And also, it kind of comes down to... I mean, you can also make it a bit later with Bo Dallas, but I'll make it here. They need to build up more jobbers in a weird way, because it's to the point where they don't even have enough jobbers to where they're rotating people as if it's just, all right, we have like two black guys in a row. This actually isn't good. People are noticing. We need to throw in one white guy. Who can we throw in? Woo, woo, woo. Yeah,
a guy who
one.
Hasn't been
that
used
one right
in months.
Yeah, and it's just, and the thing that really gets to me, I think, is just that. It's just, I mean, I know that WWE nowadays, they focus so much on debuts that they can't really do what I'm about to say, but I still want them to. Just throw a random guy in a mask. You know, just do something. Just say he's a local hero.
They've done stuff like that before, by the way. They've done, not so much in a mask, but like they've taken local wrestlers and just have them get beat down by somebody.
Yeah. Like, I remember when they were doing the angles with, it was Ryback when he was with Paul Heyman against CM Punk. They actually brought out a guy who, they called him CM Skunk, and he was actually a local guy in Detroit who he looked a bit like CM Punk. So he just had, like, a white streak in his hair, and he got his ass kicked, you know? And they've done that in the past, yes. So I really think they need to just do that more, you know, in the future, because it's just, it's getting really bad. And also I would like to mention that, you know, while I said I liked that it looked like Rusev can do stuff in the ring, like you've mentioned before, or one of us has, it doesn't make anyone look better when it's the same people, and they're the people who are in this position, where if he beat down, I mean, look at when the Boogeyman appeared, right? While this is a weird comparison, the Boogeyman actually squashed JBL. You know, after JBL had lost the title to John Cena. So he was still up there, right? While it's hard to do that when you don't know where a guy's going to be, still, that's a match. You know, that's a competitor, right, who you beat down. When it's just Xavier Woods and R-Truth, right? And then, you know, talking specifically for Rusev, and then Ryder, and then Sin Cara again, I believe, you know, and Zack Ryder again, and where are we going with Rusev, you know? He needs to fight someone,
and then, of course,
Big E, who's
that's
the biggest.
That's what I was going to mention. See, you've almost, not you, but them, they've rather slowed down, because when you beat Big E, you would think, okay, this is the point where you push him towards more things. Instead, you've got him beating Ryder again in a non-competitive match. That does nothing for his character, nothing for his advancements, nothing for the fans to like him.
This is why we need a briefcase, because I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if they did change some stuff around, you know, if they did and, you know, they were thinking, all right, we need to do this, we need to do this.
And Big E wasn't on Raw tonight, was he?
No. I wouldn't be surprised if Rusev was going to be in a briefcase, you know, at least in a match to either qualify for him to lose against. Still, he was going to be in something, I feel. Because why would you do this? Why would you build him to this point and then all of a sudden out of nowhere slow him down against Ryder again, you know? That kind of safety makes you feel as if they were going to do something and decided not to. I mean, you look at Sheamus's run, his when he came back as a face, and you can really see that he slowed down as well because they were going to do something and then, outside plans kind of change things around, and sadly they don't want to work on the fly because, well, what if Rusev beats up someone that we want to use maybe? Then all of a sudden, right there.
Right.
So, yeah. So, also, by the way, I would like to mention, that flag, I mean, like you said, just that huge flag. And it was great because, one of our usual co-hosts for, other shows, Anthony St. Andres, who's listening tonight, who just got into Raw, he texted me about this and said, first off, he said Rusev scares him. And then I texted him back saying, Rusev is probably not that much taller than you, if taller than you at all. And two, he said that he wants Rusev to fight John Cena. What's your comment on that?
Bury him.
Yeah, just, you want Rusev.
Right. There's certain, like, the flag. Okay, when Fandango had stuff going for him, right? And
right.
He had that flaming version of himself when
yes.
he would enter the ring.
Yes.
I thought that was great. I
right.
loved it.
You
know,
right.
that was my favorite thing about his entrance. So, this flag thing, if they're going to do this when he wins, that's great. Now have him actually do things. Like, okay,
yeah.
you've perfected everything around the character. Now let the character do what he was meant to do and win real matches.
Also, he spoke in English.
Mm.
Is that not? Did I forget from last week? I believe this is a big thing for him to speak in English on the main roster.
I don't think it's something he's done before.
Yes. That's a huge thing. Just, I feel as if they're really going, deep into this character. They're just saying, you know what, we need you to do something to be entertaining. If for some reason he wasn't before, which we agree, he specifically wasn't as entertaining before. So
I
really
think
so. That, yeah, so I think that
Thank
they're really
God
letting
he
him
Lana,
be.
Because Lana is an excellent
oh.
mouthpiece for him.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And
yeah.
she is one of the most prototypical examples. I know we're hopping a lot of random things tonight and sticking on them, but she's one of the most prototypical examples of why a manager can really change things for somebody.
Oh,
where
yeah.
normally I would have zero interest in Rusev, and although I have very little to begin with now, the only reason he's viable is because of Lana.
Yeah, as of right now. And it's just one of those things where it's just, yeah, if she wasn't there, I mean, it's kind of funny. She's basically a Ryback without the mouth, without the actual promo skills. And it's funny because when you look at the way Ryback is now, for some reason they thought, let's stick him on Heyman, right? For some god-awful reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when he didn't work out, it's just, oh, I guess he's just worthless. But for some reason, I guess because they're just starting this guy off, they're keeping Rusev with Lana. Even though for bits here and there, Rusev kind of seems useless.
And I think what's funny to me is that they were the ones who killed Ryback's momentum because they forced him into a replacement storyline with CM Punk.
Right.
When we knew that there was no way that, Punk would really lose.
Exactly.
And he was forced to work this out in a cell match where even though he had John Cena's endorsement, it just wasn't his time yet.
Yeah.
So I think it really hurt his momentum where he just suddenly, he fell to upper mid-card, and then when they couldn't do anything with him, he fell to mid-card, and they just didn't
mm-hmm.
know what to do with Ryback. And so that was WWE's fault, which sucks.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, the cheers that he used to get, the Feed Me More chants were just
oh, he
were
was
crazy.
Huge.
When
I
you
mean,
look back on the network.
People
right?
want to
and,
chant.
Oh, yeah. And when you look back at the network, definitely at the WWE network, when you look back at the network, and I was watching just a random Raw that they were playing. It was kind of funny. It was 2012.
I
want to
say something about the network quickly after you're done.
Okay. They were just showing, it was Ryback shell-shocking John Cena. And I know it was John Cena, but still, Ryback shell-shocking John Cena and the Feed Me More chants were, I feel as if you had replaced him with Daniel Bryan and people screaming yes, about the same. Which
yeah, well,
is
on
crazy.
That side, by the way, do you remember Ryback's promo into the camera where he was just talking about taking down John Cena? It was like being John Cena's friend is nothing more but a promise to live in the shadow of John Cena. like that kind
Wow.
of stuff. Like,
right.
That kind of stuff has been completely forgotten because of booking. But Ryback has
Right.
some excellent stuff going on.
Yes.
But yeah, on the topic of the network, it's funny
Right.
because WWE is offering a Father's Day deal, supposedly,
Oh,
about
yes.
a one-year subscription to the WWE Network.
Yes,
and,
yes,
and you're laughing, Matt, because I assume you know how much it costs.
Right,
the one-year
right,
subscription
right.
is $120 up front. Now, this
right.
one-year subscription, that means that's 12 months for about $10 per month. It actually is $119.98 up front for the one-year subscription. And their tagline is, that's less than $10 a month.
Right. So I would like
that
so again,
is the most
we would,
heelish thing
so,
in my life.
So again,
that
we
I
would
have
like
ever,
so, so if you confuse people, because I feel as if I'm confused, even though I know exactly what you're saying.
It
the,
is two
okay,
cents.
It's, okay. Yes.
Yeah,
two cents. Okay. Yeah, yeah. No. Again, the actual it, you what you normally pay for the network is $60. $60 for a ten you know for a 6 month subscription. $10 a month. You pay $60 up front, and then you get 6 months of the entire network. Right. And if you did it twice for some reason, that would be $120. Your special Father's Day gift is a full year of the network for $119.98. And like you said, their push is, it's less than a full year's worth. Yeah, that's literally...
And what's worse is that you can get billed for the WWE Network, as I do with Matt, per month. So they basically
right.
charge you $10 a month.
Yeah.
When you... take their subscription, you have to pay for it up front as one
yeah.
price.
Yeah. So you're basically saying, please pay us $120. I swear, I wouldn't be surprised if I just look at the man behind like, wait a minute, is that's a cardboard cutout. Bray Wyatt. You know, the way the words are just pulled together in this weird way, I just feel as if Bray Wyatt is trying to sell me the network.
It's the most heelish thing WWE has done in a while. And I
yeah.
laugh because I think they're serious about it. But
yeah. Oh, my God. It's great.
I mean, shit,
but
at least take $10 off.
Yes, I'm saying at least take, even if it's five. As we,
yeah,
know,
and if you're
going to
say, oh, WWE
off.
Needs the money, that's fine. Then don't run that promotion.
Yeah. Just don't say, get your father a great gift for Father's Day. Something that he could have easily gotten you, actually. You know,
and
just,
could have gotten no different at any other point in the year. Like, gosh.
Yeah, yeah. Before we move on, I would like to say that not only did Anthony San Andreas wanted there to be a feud between Rusev and John Cena, he wanted John Cena to pop out from behind the flag, if not through the flag. So the giant flag that we saw at the end, he wanted John Cena to
I
burst
want Cena
out
to
of
be
the
camouflaged
flag.
In the paint of the flag. So when
yes.
the flag drops, everything's fine, and then suddenly emerging from Mother Russia.
As if it's the Marine, as if he's just undercover.
Yeah.
He's covert ops. Just
and,
he'd be and then you realize
Rusev, everyone's so confused and happy, yeah. and then
yeah. they're like, "Wow, John Cena's pants were the same color. He's not wearing pants."
Who else isn't wearing pants tonight, Matt?
We'll get to that soon. Right now, oh my God.
The answer is not
yeah.
me.
The answer is yes. Yes. As of right now, what matters is Goldust and R-Truth versus Ryback Axel, because that matters. We'll be quick with it. It's weird because we mentioned this before. They're trying to do a slow build, but it's one of those things where you're just thinking, all right, it's too slow. You know, it's too slow. And it just feels as if you're going to throw every single jobber into this rivalry. And the problem with throwing every single jobber into this is the fact that we already have two other, two other superstars right now who require jobbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel, I mean, again, like unless you're 3 years old, and I'm saying even less than five, you know, unless you're 3 years old, even kids... I feel they're going to see and go, we just saw this guy and this, you know, getting beaten up by this
mm-hmm.
guy, and now he's here. We just saw, as if it's a merry-go-round of just jobbers doing jobbing things, which is why, again, just get a guy or girl, you know, get someone in a mask. I mean, just to do something for a day. And I know WWE really, you know, relies more on NXT now, so people would be wondering, oh, why don't you just... But even then, hell, even then, do something where it's just call up an NXT kid for a night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then have them get crushed. And why were they crushed? Well, I mean, they're from NXT. You know, they need some work, but they do great. They did great in the match. But do something. Where it does, you know, where you can have some variety instead of it just being, you know, and we can name them right now: R-Truth, Xavier Woods, Zack Ryder, Sin Cara, Mark Henry, Big Show. You know, that's six right there. What's scary is I don't know if I can name any more, which is kind of funny because you'll keep on seeing them over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But We have you know, that match happen, and, you know, you move on to 3MB versus The Shield, which, again, was great because...
That wasn't a match.
Yeah, yes, it was. That was great about it was... It wasn't. But the thing that was great was is that on the app, the reason why I think that... Again, the app was kind of shitty in the sense that it was hard to load sometimes. Whenever I would actually take, you know, a bathroom break and be like, well, I mean, it's on the app, it's on my Kindle, let's walk with it. It would not load, as if it needed it to be in specific place to load, which would be a bit upsetting. But
okay.
3MB was amazing, though, because they came out, and I know they had a little bit of what they said, you know, on the actual, on the show, but what was great is backstage, they literally said, you know, they said, hey, you know, how about you cheer for, Heath Slater, how about you cheer for us, the longest running faction in the WWE right now? And you sat there and thought, oh,
that's
shit,
great.
They're right. They're right. They weren't wrong. Evolution's broken up. Technically, The Shield is in this weird middle ground. And even then, even if they weren't, 3MB's still been around for a very long time. So you're sitting there thinking, oh, my God, they are currently the active, longest-running faction in the WWE. And
that's great.
I just sat there and I thought, oh, my God, why, Heath, why? Because if you didn't get it from my impression, which is understandable, Heath said that. And I thought, why, guys, why? They were great, you know, and they were just energetic. And then they said, yeah, now we're going out to the ring, woo. And then as they go out, all of a sudden Hornswoggle appears. Just, hey, where'd they go? I think they said they were going out to the ring or something. Oh, like as if they just left him. It was just like, you know, like little things like that, where it was cool. And then they went to the ring, they left Hornswoggle, and then they got their asses handed to them, which is what happens when you call out The Shield. Really bad move, guys.
Yeah, no, it was an interesting thing, because I guess they thought, hey, it's three of us and, you know, two of them.
Yeah, and according to JBL, that's not fair. The Shield needs the Evolution, blah, wow. I'm going to name every single faction other than 3MB. JBL said 3MB, that's not fair. 3MB needs more guys. And
yeah,
I was
they
like,
do.
Yeah.
Hey,
I was like, 4MB yeah,
wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, man.
Mm-mm. Not at all, man, not at all. Also, I would like to say, fucking camera guys, regarding Roman Reigns' spear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oh, my God. I understand maybe, you know, it's hard to, like, you know, whatever. There's, like, a lot of interference, whatever. But still, you got the spear right before the spear happened. Like, how lucky were you guys, honestly?
I'm so glad they had a replay because I was barely sure what happened in that moment. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, no, I agree. But, oh, my God. And then, of course, you know, I mean, Dean doing what Dean did was just terrifying. Just, Dean, what are you doing, Dean?
That
you know?
Was fun for me because, you know,
oh, yeah.
I think I've mentioned on this podcast before to look
yeah.
up John Moxley's stuff, which is just Dean from his indie days. And he had this Joker-esque kind of creepy thing going.
Oh, yeah.
And so tonight I think he got to tap into that a little bit, which was extremely entertaining for those people who have never seen it. Because they were
yeah.
just like, what is this? Dean is funny. No, he's not. He's psychotic. And it's a lot of fun. And a lot of the lines were just so subtle and fun, and my favorite one being the, you know, I'm going to shove your hair down into your mouth. There's going to be a lot of space there, you know, because it's where your teeth would used to be. And it's like, wait, what?
what I enjoy is that everything he said sounds like a mistake until he one-upped it with what's coming next, where it's just, you know, it's like, I'm going to take your nose, and I'm going to put it where your ear is, and you're like, what? And then all of a sudden he follows it up with, and I say ear, because you're only going to have one. I'm just sitting there thinking, this is great. You know, Dean, you're just great, man. Because the thing is that I don't think we've seen a Dean like this, you know, ever since he's, you know, he was a heel, and even then I think they were subdued for the roster, obviously. You've mentioned some great things that he did with William Regal, you know, on NXT, but obviously, you know, it's, hell, it's not even on the network because of how far back it is. So, obviously for some, they'd have to look this up. So
you can find him on YouTube, though.
Yeah,
you're curious,
you can.
Folks.
Definitely. Yeah, and so obviously he's been a bit subdued, but now it's just, hey, he's a face, but he's also extremely angry. He's kind of a tweener, so just let him go nuts. And they really let him go nuts. It was great. Also, seeing Seth in his suit was like seeing Darth Vader with the full outfit on. It's just, Seth, you've gone to the dark side.
Right. No, and I think what sucks about it, though,
what
is that he looks great.
Oh, yeah. It's an all-black suit. I mean, it just he looked great. Yeah,
and
it
I
was
say
just,
that as an extremely straight guy, but my God.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Also, by the way, I would like to say I think Reigns does need some speech classes.
Okay, so did you think there was a weird pause when it came to?
Well, not just that. I mean, I didn't think about that mostly, but I mean, I guess fair enough. Maybe he was trying to collect himself or whatever. Also, I feel as
it
if
it sounded like for a second he forgot his lines.
It may have just been the fact that, okay, you know how people on SNL just get the, you know, get a case of the giggles?
Yeah.
I feel as if that's every single night you're working with Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
Personally, that's what I would do.
I
after
wonder, because
Dean gives
when
the promo.
When he delivered his lines
right.
after, they
right.
weren't bad. You know, the whole,
no, no,
like,
no, no.
there are a few things you don't do, like if you don't betray your brothers, tug on Superman's cape. That was cool. That was really
actually,
cool.
Actually, no, no, his lines were great. I think his lines were great. I don't think his acting had a problem. I say speech classes because it's just like, I forgot which lines specifically. I wish I had written them down. Usually I do. But it's just the way he was speaking. All he needs is, okay, right, his accent. That's the problem, right? Where it's you didn't see the accent in The Rock, and look how far that guy got, right? Where
mm-hmm.
with Roman Reigns, you just hear him like, let's say he's like, you know, there's one thing you don't do, and you don't mess with your family. You know, like your foot. And it's just like little things where it's like, you know, with your brother. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when he said brother, he's like, brother. Like, brother. And it was like with this, it's like little things here and there that I thought, he just needs to get rid of that, and he would honestly be the perfect, you know, being as the, you know, the perfect, you know, specimen that they need for the top level guy, right? Because you can't have your guy running around, even if he's not cutting, you know, A-plus level promos like The Rock, you still can't have him going around saying things like, you know, it's like, you know, he can't do that. So they really need to get him some speech classes immediately to kind of get rid of that accent, to kind of get rid of that to it. Because he had that at certain points. And it's normal when you're, it's okay when you're being protected by other guys, but now that they're apparently, the entire night, just, the Shield is no more! The Shield is no more! Apparently they're trying to really break these guys up.
Yeah.
So, which is funny, because I remember during the main event, just screaming over and over, this should be the last time the Shield is together. There's been no real mention of this. I mean, yes, Seth Rollins is saying the Shield is broken up, but as long as these two guys are together, technically the Shield is still together. So it kind of felt weird, as if they were giving them lines that they shouldn't have been giving them. You know? It just felt weird. Where in general, it's like, you know, it's like, well, the Shield is over. These two guys are still kind of the Shield, though. You know? They're coming out together. The song's playing. They're coming from the, you know, from the stands.
Yeah.
They're the Shield.
What's really going on here?
Yeah. Like, I know, like, they'll announce them as Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. But, I mean, all I hope for is, since I'm going to the SummerSlam house show, the SummerSlam Heatwave house shows, you know, in New York, I'm going to one of them, you know, with Ashley, who has also been our co-host from time to time. I really hope that they come down, because I know they won't really be near me, but I'd be very upset if, because of this turn, you don't get to see the Shield be the Shield, you know, especially at my first house show in a years, you know?
Right.
I would really hope that I can see at least Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. If only just Roman Reigns, hell, just Dean Ambrose, one of them coming down from the crowd. That would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, you should be able to see them. I would think you would.
I would hope so. It's next month. That's the problem. It's in July. So
the Shield will last till then.
I hope so.
And if they don't, you'll get 3MB.
You know what? I'm okay with this. I'm okay with this.
You're the longest running faction in WWE. How can you be upset about that?
I will. Also, I really freaking will. I would like to add, before we jump onto something that also kind of has to do with house shows, which is kind of funny, I would like to add that when you heard Roman Reigns going, you know, Triple H Evolution, ooh, right? Did you hear Ambrose in the background?
Barely.
When Roman Reigns went, ooh, right? You heard Ambrose going, ooh. And I fucking died, man, because I just hear Ambrose right next to him. And I'm just thinking, dear God, the dedication, the camera isn't even on him.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, oh, it's just great.
But, reminds me of a Chicago guy named CM Punk who did that kind of stuff and made me happy.
Yeah, some great stuff. But the reason why I wanna bring up, you saw the SmackDown promo for Newark, right? Newark, New Jersey?
I did.
Yeah. What the hell, man?
The street fight?
No, the Shield. They were like, the Shield is going to have a tag team match against.
Right.
Yeah. No, I want to bring this up. This is not the first time they've done it. To anyone, you know, listening who hasn't really, like, when Daniel Bryan turned against the Wyatts, they actually, would you like to, they actually had a match. It was like a house show in White Plains, New York, with Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt in a steel cage match.
And it was like,
and
guys?
Yeah.
So like, Daniel's technically still a heel.
Not even still. He was just, he didn't even turn for that. I think they just changed it.
Right.
Right. But it's just funny because what happens is that, you know, and that's when you can tell. I mean, you can freaking tell that something came out of nowhere. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So now it's basically confirmed because there were rumors. Oh, was this Seth thing planned? Oh, was it turned? And it was pretty much confirmed recently that, you know, Vince McMahon turned, you know, got Seth to turn for ratings. And
mm-hmm.
But even then, though, you thought, well, maybe, but no, now it's official. You know, when you have promos that were filmed, you know, maybe a month or so ago, maybe even a bit longer, that were just like, oh, yeah, you know, it's going to be the Shield versus someone else. You know, clearly they weren't planning this long term.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so bad that they even let it run because they thought, well, we have to let something run, or they didn't even think about it. And it ran, and you're sitting here thinking, what's even great is, like, it's not even, okay, because at least with Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt, you could sit there at the house show, right, and maybe have, you know, like, Daniel Bryan take the Sister Abigail for Bray, and then they can move on, and you're like, damn, all right, that fits in the storyline, right?
Mm-hmm.
With this, it was literally just the Wyatts versus the Shield in a six-man tag match, and you show clips of Rollins doing
mm-hmm.
cool things. It's literally, the best way to describe it is just, you know, like after your girlfriend who breaks up with you is with another guy and they're just walking past you on the street and she's doing so much better without you. And you're sitting there just like, why? You broke my heart once. That's the only way to describe it. But moving forward, moving away from sadness and heartbreak, the Usos versus Fandango and Sandow. Or Sandango. Actually, yeah, this is completely the opposite.
This
beautiful.
Is brilliant, if only because,
yeah.
Hey, it gave the tag team champion something to do. And
mm-hmm.
when they came out first, I sat there and thought to myself, wait, Fandango doesn't have a tag team partner. This isn't a mixed tag match. Who the hell's coming out with him?
Yeah.
And then Damian Sandow.
Yes. That may have been the greatest entrance ever for a tag team, I'm just saying. I'm not saying that I'm biased or that I'm completely just, you know, forgetting every other tag team that's ever existed, but I'm pretty sure that was the best entrance ever.
No, I just, the dedication he had to twirling that goddamn thing was hilarious.
No.
And again, it's the same thing. The dedication Sandow has to playing his parts is what makes him so appealing and funny. And then you put him
yeah.
in the ring and he's pretty good.
And you want to know how good he was and how, you know, people really respond. First off, again, we mentioned before, the crowd is great, right? They were so great that they were Let's Go Sandow chants.
Yeah.
I don't think he's had those in months.
Because he's becoming very loved in terms of the fact, how can you dislike him? You
no.
know what I mean? He put in work.
And this is the gimmick that I want him to keep, by the way, because I think that, I know how it sounds, but just if Fandango and Sandow challenge the Usos for the tag team titles, even if it's just in a match that the Usos look superior in, they need that. The Usos need that, and I think Sandow needs something, you know? He needs something. Mm-hmm. Also, he's been a tag team champion once, just not as Sandow. He was a champion as Idol Stevens back in 2006.
Or 07, I think, right? Oh, boy.
Yeah, I believe it was 07, actually. But,
wow.
Yeah, he had another gimmick. And then they fired him, or he left, and then he came back, and now he is Sandow. And now
right.
he's everyone else. And now he's everyone else. But no, I just feel as if... Also, by the way, JBL, I don't know if you noticed this, at the end when the Usos were dancing, JBL mentioned the camera cut.
Mm-hmm.
But what's even better, by the way, not only did he mention the camera cut, saying, you know, like, well, look at what our director just did, right? Which, by the way, needs to happen more often. King said before the commercial, you heard him say, like, Michael Cole said something, right? And he's like, yeah, next up this, right? And then you hear King say, you better be careful. As they
yeah.
cut off, I think he was talking to JBL.
JBL, because
yeah, because
that was a line that was just, uh-oh.
You don't say that.
Right,
and
while
really,
it was funny.
Yes, and what's really funny, too, I would like to mention is that they've actually been, I don't remember if it was live, I believe it's just, you know, people giving their experiences, you know, based on, you know, seeing some things here and there. I remember hearing that when JBL first mentioned the anti-Cena chants, he mentioned them before WWE was, and doing that is a big no-no. Anything like that, you know, it's like a wrestler like making a Twitter account or something, or trying to, you know, get the fans to love him in a way that he shouldn't be doing, or she, you know, like if right now, let's say Tamina said something like, yeah, guys, shouldn't you think that I, you know, should be the next women's, you know, the next Divas champion, right? If she said that via tweet and the WWE did not sign off on it, that's a big no-no. You know, so JBL mentioned something like that, where it's like, oh, yeah, the fans are, you know, chanting against Cena. And I remember hearing that Lawler gave him this look like, what are you freaking doing here?
Right.
Right? Like, you should not, like, that's bad. Right? So it's kind of interesting how, you know, Lawler probably thought that they went to commercial break already, but they didn't. And you catch this, you better be careful. You know, where, I mean, hell, if there's anyone who knows how to keep their job, it's Jerry the King Lawler.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the guy who's been playing it safe for about a good year now, who just sits there and just nods, but you don't see him nodding. Like over the phone, where, like, someone goes, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm crazy. I know I'm on the phone with you, but I'll nod occasionally, and you don't know that I'm nodding. And it's cute. And it's cute when you're talking to someone over the phone, right? It's like, oh, that's adorable. Not when it's on live television. Like, I assume Jerry just nods to everything. And it's like, Jerry, the camera's not on you. They don't know what you're doing. You're very old. But anyway, we move forward to Bo Dallas versus Xavier Woods, which, again, as I mentioned before, we need new jobbers.
We do. Highlights of this match, by the way, for me are always Bo's in-ring commentary, which
yes.
is... the greatest thing, where he's just, he's trying his best. Everyone, he's
yeah.
trying his best. I lost it. Because
yeah. no,
it's just the most subtle trash talk in the world.
Like, I think he's actually one of the only people that could, you know, fight all of these jobbers, and it would be okay for me.
Yeah, and
but,
then
like,
he just,
the only one.
He hugs Woods after the match and just,
oh, yeah.
you'll be a champion of life someday.
No, yeah, no, I have the full quote here, and it's, keep up the good work. One day, you'll be a champion of life. And then I put the quote as, Bo fucking Dallas.
No, because
you know?
This guy is just, I love him. And the crowd, as the crowds begin to catch on, I was disappointed in the thing that he cut on Daniel earlier, because I thought he could have done much, much worse.
Yes.
But you know what? They're taking it safe with Bo for now, and while
yeah.
it's not the greatest thing they could be doing with it, it does seem to be working. And,
oh, yeah, very much.
You know, so it'll work. I think it'll work out to a point where he'll eventually just become a mega heel. And
yeah,
I'll
just
be
so long, happy. Just so long as he is not fighting Xavier Woods in a month, then we'll be okay. Because if they start to rotate him, that's a problem.
I agree.
You know, because at least, even though I love Rose, and even though, you know, we're in the middle kind of leading towards Nia with Rusev, I think Bo is should be the most successful out of the three right now, where once he's done with the chain of jobbers, he should immediately fight someone like RVD. I know you might
right.
think he's a jobber, but still, he's a bit higher up on the job level.
No,
you know,
he
RVD.
Should, because that's just
yeah.
someone who could fits like a larger mid-card thing, and that makes sense.
Or even Dolph Ziggler, I think, would be great. You know, because he'd be like, you know, because it would be wonderful. Just, you know, just don't, you everyone, don't think that Dolph needs to show off because he's so bad in the ring. He's actually really good. You know, just how great would that be? You know, don't think that he's trying to put something, you know, don't think that he's trying to do this because of his shortcomings. Because don't worry, Dolph, one day you'll be something again.
If you believe, and it's just like that. It works. It does.
Oh, man. By the way, his match with on Friday, his match with Santino was great. I don't know if you saw it or if you saw clips of it.
Mm-hmm.
You did not? Oh, it was beautiful. He was you know, shaking Santino's hand at the beginning and everything, and Santino was getting into it. Santino was like, oh, look at the sportsmanship from this guy.
At first, it really does seem that way. But then at some point, you're like, this guy's a little bit off the deep end.
No, not at all. When he got out of the ring to do his, you know, his lap around the ring, when Santino actually started to do some hip throws on him, like he did the three count, and all three of them, and then when he got up, he goes, oh, excuse me 1 minute. He gets out of the ring and he does the trumpet. Santino does the trumpet, like I'm doing this. And then the second he comes into the ring, by the way, as he's coming into the ring, Bo looks a bit like, right? Like, kind of like a bit annoyed. And when he gives Santino the handshake and he shakes his hand, he holds his hand there and clotheslines him. And for the rest of the match, he dominates him to the point that when he pins him and Bo gets up, he looks a bit angry and then he kind of like goes, like he shakes it off like he was in a haze.
Yeah, and then because he has that kind of mode.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's great because it's the first time you get to see it on live television, though.
I'm just upset that was on SmackDown and not Raw because
true, very true.
You
but
know,
then
if
the
you're
going to
bust out that kind of subtlety,
yeah.
You want that on Raw so more people can see it.
But I mean, again, I assume that it was just, you know, I don't think it was. I mean, it was planned, obviously, but it was done, in such a way that. It was just Bo giving himself to it more than I think they told him to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't. But what's great is, then after it was over, Emma was out with him, and he goes and he says, Emma, please don't think that Santino is a loser, because he isn't. You know, he tried his hardest, and in the future, he just has to believe. And as he says, Emma, don't think that Santino's a loser. Emma just kind of shakes her head like, no, he's not. You know, like, it was great. Like, it was
right,
just...
because he is the most delusional. He is delusional.
Oh, man.
And
yeah,
that's
great.
Okay. It's just they have to play that up. And
he
is absolutely delusional.
Oh, yeah. But and, of course, now we move on to RVD versus Cesaro, which, in my opinion, this is the match where it's just they've really run, you know, they run matches that are draws, right? And some that are not too much, you know, draws. But still, they run them into the ground.
Yeah,
because
this one shouldn't happen again.
Never. At least for another, that's the thing. Like, not even another, like a three-month thing. Like, this should never happen again.
No, this has been drawn out to the point where, it's just so many times you've gone to the well, and the matches have the same, and it almost makes Cesaro look bad. Because RVD has a limited moveset at this point, so his matches can only go a certain way. And Cesaro can work with him, but, I mean, he can't be a miracle worker. If RVD can only use 5 to 7 moves, that's what you're going to get. And it's disappointing because...
It is, because, like I mentioned earlier in the night, like with Sheamus and Barrett, they didn't do anything. Because they would have said, this is a ladders match, as if it's to, be like a prequel to the, and not even a ladders match where it's like, you climb for anything, just a ladders, match where you can pin someone, which exists, strangely.
Right.
I would be okay with it, because it's like, oh, we're putting little tiny spins on what could happen on Sunday. So not this Sunday, but, you know, in the future. But no, it's just, hey, guys, it's different. Because it's a qualifying match. That's not freaking different at all. Like, honestly, I would have liked Sheamus versus RVD and a sequel, another match of Barrett versus Cesaro. If only because you would have, Cesaro won anyway. You know, so it could have been the same exact chain of
right.
events, just flip the matches around, because I don't think we've seen Sheamus versus RVD, and I would, like, at least in recent memory, and Barrett versus Cesaro is so new that if they had done a sequel, you know, it would have been recent, so it wouldn't have been a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
But propping up, you know, Sheamus and, you know, and, what was it, Sheamus and, you know, Cesaro again. Rather Barrett again. It just felt it was too much. You know, too much familiarity in one night. Where we just had something really huge last week, so we needed to keep the kind of momentum going.
I agree.
Yeah, and God, what else? It just, and of course, like I said, I think I texted you this. They put themselves into a corner with this match because you want Cesaro to win because of the push, but RVD would make a more interesting ladder match.
Right.
You know, and then Cesaro wins.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Could you, and when we went back to the whole idea of can you make that second ladder match, right?
Right.
You could have guys like RVD and Ziggler in that second ladder match, and that second ladder match will put on a goddamn show.
Most definitely. That's what I want. Hell, I'd rather have that on after the WWE match, if only because I know you want that guy to stand tall, but it's just so, there's always a chance, you know, which is like, I feel as if with the Money in the Bank briefcase, it just, for me, that intrigues me sometimes even more than the champion at the time, because it's the mystery. When is this person going to cash it in? You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, heck, if we had better diva workers on the card currently, I would argue that the second, you know, a ladder match should be a divas match.
Sadly, we're not there yet. I'd like to see something like at least a divas, like number one contender battle royale or something, just to freshen it up right now and get some new faces in.
Right.
But in terms of the Money in the Bank, I mean, I
think one day
we
can have it.
We can, very soon. And, you know, because you've got, just right off the top of your head, Paige and Emma, right? Then you've got Tamina, who can work, Natalya, who can work. Alicia Fox is not the worst in the world. Technically, you've still got a Bella left.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got, then you look back to the roster, the NXT roster, you have Charlotte, Bailey, who will eventually be working very well. And AJ at some point will return. And
which, honestly, I think AJ could fill in that that role of Paige, because you said Paige, but remember, if we're doing a ladder match here, Paige can't be in it, because she is the
champion. I'm just saying, like, you know, there's a mix of things where
we have enough people
that, if needed, we can eventually do this kind of match. I don't know if they'll pull the trigger yet.
No, not yet, but I think that in the, like, next year it should be, if by next year we still have the titles unified, and, you know, we should have, you know, you know, the two matches on the card being one for the Money in the Bank for, you know, the male dominant title, and then the other one being the, you know, for the female dominant title. Because
I think
that's
a long way in dispelling some of the notions about the women's division.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that we haven't had one yet makes you really think, you know, guys, what are we doing? That's really, you know, that's really sexist. But then you also see the quality of workers that we've had. And you think, well, maybe not, you know. I understand why maybe you wouldn't want to put, you know, six of these, you know, people, in a, or even seven, in a ring with weapons, you know, with ladders. I understand. But just make sure Eva Marie
never makes that ladder match.
Oh, my God. Not even as the referee, honestly. Just don't.
She'll be counting pins.
She really will. Oh, my God. It would be great. Just, she'd be like, I would be great. Like, you'd have AJ put her, you'd have AJ put someone in the Black Widow. And then she would look at the person and say, are you going to tap? And AJ would most likely get out of the Widow, or at least during it, scream, are you freaking kidding me?
Right, just lose it. Like, you know, and.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So, and the match wasn't bad, by the way, RVD versus Cesaro. The ending, and it's just that the ending didn't really make me happy, and it just wasn't something that I would look forward to in general. Like, if you had asked me, do you want this on the card, or how do you feel about this? I wouldn't have, it's, no, I don't want it on the card, and I don't really feel that good about it. It's that simple. You know? And when we move on, you know, we're moving on a bit quicker here. That Seth interview, I don't know if I like his new song. How do you feel?
I'm not sure what the fuck that was. I don't know if that was his NXT music or something, but
if it is his NXT music, then I'll be okay with it. if it's something that they came up with that's new on the spot, needs some work.
Yeah, it was kind of weird where it just hit me like, oh, Seth music. I mean, because they should have just let him roll out with the Evolution theme because
Yes, because it's very, it's really funny because I know the Evolution theme is rock, but it's just really weird that when you say Seth sold out to the corporation, right? Death metal. What? Like,
yeah.
If that's the music you get when you sell out to the corporation, sign me up. You know, I'll sell out. I mean, I'm okay with that.
Right. It was a little confusing in that regard.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know, but the actual interview, they went the basic route here. You know, I am the architect of the Shield. I am the man who created it.
Right.
I am the reason the Shield was the Shield.
Right.
And that made sense.
Yeah.
I liked that.
It's he's good. You know, you can disagree with him if you want to. If you want to actually, you know, really stick with his argument where it's like, I made the Shield. You know, you can't really disagree with him. You know, because everything else that he said really kind of, you know, it helped his point out. And you sat there and thought, damn. You know?
And it's funny because you can disagree with him as a face because you sit there and you're like, it was a team effort, you asshole. But in his own little heel world, it made sense for him to make his move. And
Right.
And I know that eventually he's going to do a thing where he touches on the fact that, hey, like, you know what, at the end of the day, this is a company where you need to win singles titles to be the man.
Exactly.
And that'll be the step into, like, his real heel turn, where people will be like, shit, I hate you, but I see your point.
Yes, no, most definitely. And also, I don't like, it's just something weird about with the end of his interview, or at least before he sat back down again, there was something about it that made it sound like he was saying, like, I was always evil, you know, and I don't think I like the way it sounded, where it sounded like he was like, you know, it's like, I've been waiting, you know, it's like, oh no, where it's like, I've been wanting to say this forever. It's like, really, you have?
Part of it was just kind of irritating because he tried to play it off like, you know, it's like, oh, I never saw Brothers. I just saw Business Associates. It's like, you damn well know it was more than that. You know, so, and no matter what you want to say, it was more than that. You treated these people like brothers. You fought. You put your body on the line for them. You know, so, like, you don't do that for just business partners.
Exactly.
So, like, part of that kind of irked me, but I don't know if that was just part of the new heel act, where he's just trying to make it seem like,
that's
hey,
I'm sure, I
don't have feelings like that. Fuck you.
That's what I'm assuming is what it is. So I guess it's okay, but, like, you know, I don't know. The rest was beautiful. And also, when he sat back down, he said, so that's it, Michael. I just laughed because he was just so fucking cocky.
Yeah, no, and his whole thing where he was just like, hey, I thought they were going to come kick my ass. Why isn't that happening?
And then they did, and obviously you knew they were going to appear, right? But the Wyatts appearing felt unexpected for me. And also something that I did think, and I know this would really be out of left turn, I felt for some reason that maybe the Wyatts, because they are this force, were thinking, let's punch Seth Rollins, right? And then I thought, regardless of teams, just Seth thinking, you are trying to punch me? I will not let that happen. And then the Shield kind of get backed into a corner, and then Seth is the actual mystery partner. Not that the match would go without some kind of, you know, really bad turn again, obviously, because why would Seth really team with them? But it
not
would
even
still
that.
Be...
Why would Ambrose and Reigns team with him now?
He wouldn't.
Because
the thing is,
they
want to
kill him now.
The thing is, though, is that I feel as if it's one of those things where it's just, I'm not saying they want to team together. It's the sense that if the Wyatts really actually back them into a corner, would they really just go, listen, Wyatts, I know you're going to kill us, but maybe kill this guy first? Just
I think they would ignore the fact that the Wyatts are there.
Really? Even if the Wyatts are trying to punch them in the head, they would just
they
be like,
they are one week removed from the biggest betrayal of their career.
I know, it would be a nice way to kind of, like, end the Shield on, like, not even a good note, because obviously by the time either the match is over or even before the match begins, they'd possibly want to. What'd be great is even if before the
match
begins,
would never happen.
I would still rather have that happen then, in a weird way, where it's just everyone beating up everyone at the end. Because it's funny thing, I think the best thing in the world is, it's now a handicap match, because both Reigns and Ambrose have beaten up Rollins before the match began. And even when the match did begin, it's not a disqualification, actually. You can beat up your own members. That's actually really messed up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the Allen team is sitting there like, this is actually really fucked up, Michael. You know, like, just the Wyatts are confused. Just, we're having a match. You shut up for right now. Just as they're beating the shit out of Seth Rollins.
Right.
But seriously though, I feel like it would have been a little weird. It would have been a nice twist, but not in a way that, like, not like a Russo swerve, where it's just now they're working together because they want to. No, it's just one of those things where it's just the Wyatts are currently surrounding us. I will fight him, and then the second someone is pinned, I will tear your throat out from your, you know, from your throat. Agreed.
Right.
You know, one of those, because I'm a big fan of that whole, we don't want to work together, but we must because bigger threats. I'm a really big fan of that. And
I
want
like that,
there to
but
be more.
You
of
can't
that.
Pull that a week after the betrayal.
No, I agree. Here's the thing. Would you have rather had that or John Cena?
John Cena, because it makes sense right now.
Fair enough.
It makes sense right now. Down the line, the whole common enemy storyline is beautiful. It's
right.
Great. It's a draw.
Right.
You can't do it 1 week after when literally 25 minutes ago, Dean basically says, I'm going to rip your face apart.
Yes.
You understand?
That is true. Yes.
So it can't work within that time frame of reality.
No, it can't.
Down the
can't.
Line, it will be a beautiful thing when the Shield are either forced to reunite or a year or two from now when they have an actual, like, reunion.
Yes, I just really didn't want Cena. Like, I was just, because
I'll believe,
especially,
and
I don't
you know I'm the last guy for, you know,
by
just
the way,
to put Cena
by the way,
anything.
People were chanting Cena, and I was like, fuck, no Cena chance. No Cena, why?
Yeah, it's funny, like, because I had my TV kind of low on volume for that moment.
Right.
Right around when the Wyatts had entered, and
yeah.
I had my back turned, and I heard the crowd cheer.
Yeah.
And I couldn't make out the theme song. And I thought to myself, is someone new in? And
oh.
I turned around, it was just John. I was like, fuck, it's John.
Yeah. No, you want to know how bad it got for me? I want the Big Show back. I would have actually been perfectly okay with, after Friday night's beatdown of Big Show, if he had decided, I should probably get in on this.
Yeah, Maddie's exact words were anybody but Big Show. And then John Cena happened and she took it back.
Yeah.
It's really anybody but John Cena.
That's exactly how I felt.
But they heard you, Matt. They heard you. And then
they heard
they
the both of
you.
Us. It's great. Oh, my God. It's great.
Just anyone but Big Show. So you'd like some more John Cena, you say. Fuck.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Can never give them that chance.
No, you can never. And, of course,
it's
you
like
know, I was,
drunk
I,
friend.
Oh
you can't
no.
let them have that first move, because then they'll take the whole thing.
Exactly.
Or they'll at least try, and you'll sit there trying to deny them the entire rest of your life / night.
Speaking of the rest of your life, here's Paige versus Alicia Fox.
Hey!
Yeah,
my wonderful woman was back on Raw, which was great to
which
see.
Which is good, but oh my God, it's just really Alicia Fox again? Just throw her a face.
It was
like,
funny
even if it's
because
that bad.
I thought they were going to throw Oksana out, because
yeah.
I was like, why not? You know, she just beat Alicia Fox pretty much for the most part.
Yeah.
So why do that again? I was kind of confused. Not that I was complaining because she won again, but that's what I was saying. I think we need something like a Divas number one contender battle royale or something soon.
Yeah.
Because
it's just,
what the fuck is she going to do now?
No, yeah, it's just, I feel as if, like, this is actually getting me a little upset as we're actually going through it, because it feels as if, you know, Vince does something really good, or they as a group, you know, do something really good, and then they think, so we don't have to try for anything else, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like they've almost half-assed it with Paige, where I love her and I'm glad that she's champion,
yeah.
but she has no depth or character as said champion.
Yeah, not even Paige, because I think yes, I agree, though. They've only given her, you know, character through, like, vignettes and possibly even, you know, these promos on the app that we don't even fucking know about. But that should be included in any kind of downloads. If you are a person who is somehow listening to us and also puts Raw on the air, try to get the apps somehow. Those are a lot of character, you know, development that we're probably missing. That's really
about,
good.
Like, the app, I believe, is free.
Yes, it is.
The app is free. Yeah. The network, of course, you have to pay for, but the app is free. So it's not like Matt's promoting you to go out and buy something this time. It's legit just
no.
the app.
Yes. But anyway, I wasn't referring to Paige. I was referring to the entire card, where it's just, we must do rehash because we don't care. Which
yeah,
is, but guys,
it does
like,
feel a little bit half-assed in that sense, where it's like, oh, we're doing the Shield thing, right? So we're good, right, guys? And I feel like we're almost in the place where we'll accept that sometimes. You know, where you can look at guys like myself or Matt and think, oh, we're overly critical. But that's what we're supposed to do. I mean, there are certain things we will let slide because it makes sense and such.
Yeah.
But being overly critical is just the fact that even if they were the top, like if they were, they are technically, they have a monopoly on wrestling. And even at that stance, of course we're critical because you can always do better. You can always one up yourself.
There are certain things that I'll admit that we're, that I'm being critical on. This night, I don't believe I'm being critical, if only because, okay, yeah, you're at top of the mountain and everything, but there should never be a time when someone says, I don't have to watch all of insert show here. There should never be a time when someone says, oh, I'll just catch a YouTube video. You know, there should never be a time where someone says, this was missable, regarding to any part of Raw that isn't one specific segment that just doesn't resonate with that one person.
Right,
right?
And I think not even that far ago, Raw was that unmissable because of something like CM Punk when he was running his heel stuff, where he, at some points, would cut, like, a half-hour promo and completely keep our attention.
Yeah.
You know, where they can't even do that with multiple segments sometimes now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, where it's just, you know, it's just, they spread things out where it made you feel as if, oh, well, we're going to have Daniel Bryan's announcement first, that's hour one, and then Rollins would be like, oh, that's hour two, and then the main event would be hour three, so you don't want to miss any of it, do you? Well, with constant rehashes, at the very least, like Daniel said, Daniel even said it, and Daniel's a huge wrestling fan, and he said, I was in and out between this and E3.
Yeah, and I mean, E3 is a special thing, right? But how easy is it for you to turn over to E3 when it's Sheamus versus Cesaro 6?
Yeah.
You know, it kind of makes the decision a little easier on your head, or RVD versus Cesaro 4.
Right, exactly. That's more accurate, and it's so true. It's just, it's the fourth time. I think even they've even got into the mat, you know, into on the mat more because they've also been involved in triple threats.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
This may actually be 6 or 8. Which is really funny, but in a not really in a comical way. You're kind of crying inside.
Right.
But, yes. And, you know, and I speaking back to, you know, Paige and Alicia Fox, before we kind of jump, you know, away from it, it's just, I feel as if this match actually made her look bad in the beginning. As if they were trying to make Alicia Fox look like a credible threat, but she's already had that chance. So in my eyes, it's just you don't really need to make her look good at all. Yeah, I know things turned around, and you know, and Paige looked really good by the end. She won. But still, it just Fox looked way too good for way too long.
Well, remember,
you know,
she ends up tapping out at the end. So it
does
serve to negate that a little compared to a pinfall.
Yeah, it's true.
But, I mean, you're right. I understand what you're saying. I'm just hoping that they do something with her coming up to this pay-per-view because, like, you know, now that we have a legitimate a Divas champion, and not saying that AJ wasn't, but you have a division where you can considerably set up like at least the championship match per month at the pay-per-view. There
right.
should not be a pay-per-view that passes by where we don't have a women's match anymore from now on.
Exactly.
And so that needs to be a thing. And, you know, I just don't know where they're going now because it's June 29th, I think, or something of that nature is the pay-per-view.
Yes.
And, you know, this is June 9th. I mean, it's 3 weeks from yesterday then?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's urgent, but I'd like to see what we're doing in terms of the page.
No, I agree. And, you know, the two things I think that I found the most enjoyable from this match, and it wasn't even part of the match really, is, for once, it's commentary. King made a Lost in Space reference. Thank you, King.
Oh.
My dad loved Lost in Space, and I was really a big fan of it. He was just like, danger, danger, Will Robinson.
Oh.
I forgot why I was even brought up. All I know is I was a huge fan, and Michael Cole, as always, said, your references are up to date. You know, a show from the 60s. But I was a big fan, you know, so that was one thing. And then two, something that was great. I love JBL. Alicia Fox was shoving popcorn into Oksana's mouth, JBL said, and I quote, I would eat it. I would eat it and not say a word. which is great because it's just they were actually promoting a superstar. They were pushing Alicia Fox's. Yeah, we're not intimidated by her. We're frightened. We're just plain scared, which is great. You need that, actually.
And the commentary of the match was actually fun. I think JBL made a joke of self-humor where he was like, look, I've been trying to get people to leak photos of me.
Yes, but no one's ever tried. No one's ever
done it. Right.
Yeah. But, and, of course, we jump to Swagger versus Santino, which
this match
dude.
What the hell was that?
You know what it was? This is the exact match that is, quote-unquote, supposed to be in that spot, which stinks. But, hey, at least the piss break match wasn't a Divas match. And by the way, for anyone who doesn't know, the 10:30 block is actually the death slot, right? So you put matches
there.
Correct,
because it's the dead zone between the main event and whatever event just happened. So nothing significant is supposed to happen there.
Exactly. So the most you're ever going to get is a Garlic Jr. sighting there. You're never really going to get anything major in that spot. So,
right, Frieza doesn't come down there. It's Garlic Jr.
No. You're going to get some movie filler villains right there. That's all that's going to happen, you know. So, and that's the issue. Where it's you know, and again, great to Santino, dedication. I mean, you know, he actually, it's kind of funny, he actually reminded me of my step-grandfather, you know, from my stepmom's side, because he's Italian, you know, very, very, very Italian, you know, and, you know, rest in peace, you know. But when he was around, it's just, he would say things like, you son of a gun, and just like that.
No, I
so
really
when I,
enjoyed Santino tonight. I just don't know what the fuck was going on.
It just, it's one of those things where it's just, again, we, wait a minute, actually, let's count it. Rusev, Bo Dallas, Jack Swagger now, and then Rusev, but who was jobbing tonight? Who needed jobbers tonight? Let's count everyone who needed jobbers tonight. Rusev, Bo Dallas.
Arguably the Usos.
The Usos, yes, thank you. Basically, in a way, we just had way too many people. I mean, I don't want to say the Usos, but we just had way too many people, you know, needing jobbers tonight. And that's a huge problem because they're the people that are already jobbing out. I mean, Santino already had a loss to Bo Dallas on Friday. So
right.
You're sitting here. So, again, any kid, literally any kid, can sit there and just go and see a there's a lot of things that I'll admit, you know, about kids, but they aren't stupid. You know, they see patterns. Everyone sees patterns. I mean, kids freaking learn how to count. That's a freaking pattern. You know what I'm saying? The kids, so they'll look at this and be like, huh, that guy just lost to that other guy. Like, in no way does this make Jack Swagger look any more credible than he did before.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's just so confusing to me because are we doing this thing again where he gets slapped by Coulter? I mean, I don't know what the hell's going on.
I like that. I like that.
I just don't know what's going on. At the same time, I liked Santino. I thought he was entertaining tonight.
You know, so
I just don't know where to go with that. But, I mean,
yeah,
I guess
it was just
something we can sweep under the rug because...
That's the problem. They did, too. That's the thing.
Yep.
It was literally my last comment for this match was, and, yeah, nothing to see here. You know? I mean, just... Honestly, even though it would have been it wouldn't have been good, in my opinion. Still, you want to shock people. You want to do something that makes Swagger look on top. Have him beat Rusev. Or at the very least, have him get into some kind of, you know, fight with Rusev. Because, I mean, oh, my God. Like, even though they're both heels, this is the match that they're both made for.
Mm-hmm.
Both, you know, the gimmicks. This is the match that they were made for. Even if, which would be great too, because I feel as if Lana would pull out her papers immediately, and Zeb would look at them, see them, and go, well, they may have been falsified, right? But what matters more is that you are anti-America, and that would be just, that would be amazing. Even if they're just like, yep, Rusev is currently, you know, an American citizen, or at least has a work visa or something. What matters is that you guys are dissing America, and we're for America. Right? It's the perfect feud.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I mean, it was... I can't even... I'm sad. But anyway, so as we move forward, I'm laughing because of the Cody Goldust segment. I don't care. I care about Cody's description, I will admit, but it's not really going to make me, like, really want to tune in next week, you know? I mean, frankly, it felt like they needed filler. You know,
I was confused about that, though, Because I was wondering, is he hinting at like an NXT guy?
I'm hoping that he is. What if he brings up what's his name? What if he brings up what's
Tyler
his name?
Breeze.
No. With the oh goddamn it. Lightsabers.
Callisto?
Yes. He brings up Callisto.
That would be
because that again, I would be happy because at the very least you're bringing up people who can take the loss and not look bad because of it.
Well,
you know,
I want to see what they're doing, and I'm pretty sure, you know, we'll wake up tomorrow morning and we'll find out in the rumors, like, oh, you know, was likely referring to this guy.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
What I would love as a, wouldn't it be great if they just rehire Sin Cara as his new gimmick in Mexico?
By the way,
yeah, if people don't know, the original Sin Cara was fired because I blame WWE. Because he was freaking given the mood lighting, which looked really bad, as well as not having really large, you know, like, slits in his mask to see. So he kept on botching. But anyway, point is that, because if you look at it, now the guy who plays Sin Cara now, yes, they replaced him with someone else, Hunico. Now all of a sudden they don't have the lighting anymore. Gee. And he's botching less. Gee. Right? But anyway, point is that they've replaced him, the guy originally in the mask. They fired that guy. That guy is now in limbo where he can't use his old name, because I think it's like
contracted to WWE. Well, Mystico was contracted to his original promotion, and Sin Cara is contracted to the WWE.
Yeah, so he had to go with something new, and I can't remember the name off of the top of my head, but it's basically a Pokemon. So it would be great if they just rehired him. And then, as if to say, we're going to rehire you. You're going to screw up. You will then fail, and we will also have this name under our belt, who will then be taken over by Hunico's other partner.
I'm not even going to...
But seriously, though,
see if
that's
I can
something.
Find out the name by the time, before we just give a quick mention of the main event.
Right. And then, no, before the main event, Triple H and Stephanie segment, another filler. Which
that
was
mentioned
funny,
John
filler.
Cena.
Oh, speaking of John Cena, it's a Cole quote. It's like, did you ever think you would see John Cena standing side by side with Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns? No, and I prayed for it not to happen. Sadly, my prayers were not answered.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take. You know, it just, I don't know, like, I think, and also the match itself was very poor quality. Like, I feel as if, and I don't even blame Cena for it, I just feel as if, that's why the Seth Rollins thing, as silly as it would have been, I feel as if the match would have actually been a quality match filled with drama and tension, because with John Cena there, and even if he wasn't, it just felt as if everyone was told to be safe. And it really, like, if this really is the last match where you know, Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns come out together from the crowd and work a match together, like, as, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. members
mm-hmm.
with the S.H.I.E.L.D., this was a really bad send-off. I mean, this was the worst send-off you could have ever done. I mean, honestly, if this was their send-off, you shouldn't have even had them wrestle ever again together.
I do see what you mean.
Yeah. And
I think the fault is, and I think this is what you're implying, is in the fact that they kept emphasizing, like, you know, this is the last time we might see the Shield.
Yeah. And I'm not even saying that the match at the end really didn't pick up and was great, but it's just, again, we've seen on Raws and SmackDowns and even Main Event, we've seen pay-per-view level Shield matches versus the Wyatts even. So
mm-hmm.
to have this be, like, I'm actually very sad that, you know, our co-host for some of our shows, Anthony San Andres, had to sit in and see this one. Where it's to the point where I may just, after we're done with this podcast, I may just throw some YouTube videos at him.
NXT
a couple
TakeOver.
Of the matches. I mean of the Shield versus,
No,
the
NXT TakeOver. That would be enough.
Fair enough. They aren't in it, though, but fair enough. I still feel as if there's just a lot that he could have seen tonight that could have been... And he did see some great things. You know, I'm not even saying that Raw was the worst Raw in the world. It definitely wasn't. But I feel as if, you know, they just they just get very lazy when they do something really cool, and then they only want to focus on that cool thing, because with promos, they really focus on that. A-plus work there, you know, for the Shield, you know, for everyone who's at the top. But then when the match came, for some odd reason, it just felt very off tonight. And it's funny, because you had JBL mention it, where it's just, you know, saying, you know, oh, well, you know, they don't really fall a lot together. So maybe that's why there's not that much chemistry. And it's funny because he said that as a heel, and you're supposed to disagree with him. But he was right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, there was something that was off about tonight's main event, and it could have been so much better. I mean, we didn't even get to see Athletic Harper.
Right, agreed.
Something that we should always see. And I was really hoping that Anthony would have been able to see. I mean,
Harper do a suicide dive or something of that
through
notion.
Through the second rope,
like, wow.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
Ambrose did something, but Ambrose always does something. So it wasn't
mm-hmm.
really new. You know. Also, by the way, I don't think Bray Wyatt was supposed to throw John Cena like that. Like, no.
I'm glad he did, though.
Me too, but I'm saying, like, that shouldn't be a thing, and I don't think in the people in the back like that throw. Like, I think that's another pile driver incident, where if people don't know, there was a match between CM Punk and John Cena. Do you remember where it was?
On Raw.
Oh, it was on Raw where this happened? Where
mm-hmm, Monday Night
they were
Raw.
Okay, so they were both in a match on Raw, right? And apparently, live on the spot, you know, because they call stuff to each other. So, like, when they're on headlocks and stuff, they'll just whisper to each other, you know, directions on what to do next. So, apparently, live, CM Punk whispered to John Cena, hey, can I put you in a pile driver? And John Cena, because he truly believes in his gimmick, said, sure, man.
So he says no. He says no. You can actually see him screaming as CM Punk does the pile driver, like, you little bitch.
No. It's great. You agreed to it. It's just great because
how do you know he agreed to it? I'm just saying. I'm pretty sure you can hear him scream, you little bitch, as CM Punk pile drivers the shit out of him with a devious grin on his face.
And then
like,
the kids were crying.
I've been waiting to do this.
And then the
CM Punk had
crying.
A smile on his face, though. Just like, I have been waiting to do this for so long.
Pile driver! Remember, though, this move is banned because this move can actually break your neck. And according
That's
to
That's exactly
rumors,
why he was waiting to do it to John Cena.
And according to rumors, John Cena said, well, of course, why shouldn't you put me in a pile driver? So and Vince was extremely pissed.
But every fan that's like us in terms of like hardcore fans freaked out.
Nuts. Oh, yeah. So that's the thing. I feel as if this was one of those moments where it was just, hey, John, can I throw you? Well, of course, Bray. Why would you not be able to? And that's what happened. And backstage, you're like, motherfucker. You know, who said that Bray could throw John? John did. Oh. Who else? You know, like, who? Because it didn't look kosher. You know, it did not look safe. It did not look like something that someone went, yeah, Bray, you should do that to him. Definitely. You know, it looked like one of those on-the-fly calls.
Right.
Yeah, because it just did not look right at all.
Tonight, I mean, it just didn't have the pop, the fire it could have.
Which is upsetting.
Replacing Seth Rollins with John Cena doesn't
mm-hmm.
fit.
No.
And it felt like we got a limited amount of the Wyatts, too, so it just didn't work out as well as it could have tonight.
Yeah, I'm not even going to lie. Hulk Hogan came out in a Shield vest because we have actually picture evidence of him doing that in the 90s at one point. He came out in the Shield, you know, cargo and everything. I wouldn't have been – Hogan working a match in 2014, Bray Wyatt doing that same throw to Hulk Hogan, and simultaneously breaking and fixing his back.
That would be
I would
the
have
worst
been
possible
pretty,
thing. Because then
I would
he
been,
would try to come back for a championship shot.
I would have been – come on. Hulk Hogan climbing a ladder in 2014, he would have been slower than RVD. It would have been great. And Hulk Hogan is still climbing up the ladder 2 months later. Well, like as if it's like a dual thing where it's just like you have like when they used to do that thing where like back in the day would be like, we're here from this arena back
mm-hmm.
to you, right? This just 2 weeks, 2 months later. They are currently past SummerSlam. And it's like Hulk Hogan is still trying to climb up the ladder. Sadly, no WWE World Heavyweight Champion just yet, John.
See, here's my final thought for the night as we wrap this up.
Right.
We buy
right.
TNA. Empty arena.
Why is that a question?
Ladder
okay.
title.
Okay. Okay.
And just every week it's just a refer back to see if Hogan can do it. And if he gets closer, you raise the title. And if he gets that title, you give him a WWE title shot in storyline. But in real life, he never can get that title. The old guy with the fishing pole.
You know what's even better? As he raised the title, we raised the ladder up just a bit, so he thinks there's a chance.
That's so, what you get, Terry.
What's even, what you get. What's even better is that I have a 20 in my wallet. We could possibly buy TNA right now.
I think I've also got a 5 in mine. I mean,
Whoa. We don't want to make them think that we're trying to, you know, like, flash money around or anything.
Good point.
We should be moderate, you know?
Good point.
$5, though, we could buy about half their roster.
I'll take the Knockouts division.
Honestly, I'd take the Bromance. They exist.
Does that come
Anthony,
with the Asian DJ?
I would hope so.
Because if not, I have dibs on the Asian DJ.
I would hope so. But anyway, since we're wrapping this up, thank you guys for listening to those guys. We're going to go into the archives now. But don't worry, Dish will play us out with something.
He'll never be champion again.
No!